Do you think about making dynasty trades even while watching football games?
Are you thinking of player values when you should be thinking of family values? Then you may have a trading problem.
Don't worry, you're not alone. I am Dynasty Outhouse and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar and I also have a trading problem.
Join us for the Trade Addicts podcast where you can be with like-minded people and talk about everything in the NFL in the context of dynasty trade values.
News and notes, make amends, keep trade buys, all these things we will cover every week.
And don't forget Trade Addicts trades.
So when you're done listening to this fine DLF family podcast, please tune in to the Trade Addicts podcast.
Thank you and enjoy your podcast.
Do you have the time to listen to me grind? Take down the film watchers and nerds all at once. With the math's not adding up, you bet I'm checking it out. I'm just piling, working to the grind.
Hello and welcome back to the Dynasty Crossroads. My name is Peter Howard at PA Howdy on Twitter. I'm a senior writer for Dynasty League Football. Yeah, and this is a DLF member of the DLF family of podcasts. Yeah, that was terrible. How you doing? I don't know, guys. Maybe I'm running out of steam. Maybe I'm buried too far into my sheets, but I'm finding it hard to develop momentum for content. Like, I got a lot of research done. I've been working on projections a lot. Got another stream hopefully tomorrow to start talking about how to work the projection model that we actually created on stream. And yet when I go to boil it all down to some sort of dynasty relevant content, like the top five running backs to buy and stuff, I lose all enthusiasm. I need someone to bounce off of at some point. And so I've actually sent out a whole bunch of requests and I've got people lined up to come onto this show, and hopefully that'll kickstart me into 2021 take season. I already feel like I have a few, but I can't. So instead, while building a whole bunch of stuff, I started re-updating my ADP, and I just thought I'd talk through some observations on rookie ADP and also sophomore ADP, really. This off-season, I've been writing a series of articles for DLF looking at what makes or when do players break out at different positions. One of the things I've found is that ADP is a fairly good guide on whether to buy in or buy out. It's unfortunate because one of my favorite players actually have a negative score in terms of where they've moved in ADP from last year to now. And since I was tracking August to August, I still don't quite have the full story on rookies from last year, but there were some interesting observations that I feel like I've said, but I want to make sure I say them. So looking at sophomore wide receivers from last year and what they're doing in May ADP, according to Dynasty League Football, there's some noticeable oddities. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, and T. Higgins have all moved up at least 3-4 rounds from August last year, and that's deserved. They're the most likely hit rate group, the players we want from this craft, class, that's the one. And Chase Claypool's moved up a full 7 rounds, which makes a lot of sense. I'm still buying out on it, although I did happen to note on a podcast recently, someone else's podcast, obviously, that if his production is a lie and his year one in the NFL is the truth, then he measures pretty closely to Calvin Johnson. Now, he doesn't measure like Calvin Johnson, but he's the closest physically to Calvin Johnson in a very long time. And that's still remarkably less athletic than Calvin Johnson, because what a monster he was. But it is interesting to see exactly how hard Chase Claypool may own me. He is due a lot of touchdown regression after looking through projections. You don't have to do much to drag him outside the top 24. Well, you don't have to do anything to drag him outside the top 24 wide receivers. You just have to expect him not to catch a touchdown every third pass, and that's it. And so I'm still leaning Juju for the upside in that offense, and I keep having that argument on Twitter, but I think I've said it more than enough times. If you adjust for context, Juju Smith-Schuster is easily the most skilled player on that roster at wide receiver, and in fact one of the most skilled players in the NFL, but everyone now thinks he's mediocre because no one wants to take into account the context that he was literally playing at the line of scrimmage last year, which I guess could owe me, but I'm still in. Where was I? LaViska Shenault's gone up by 3 rounds. Michael Pittman's actually gone up by 1 round. To my absolute disgust, his rookie season wasn't so terrible. Looking at Indianapolis Colts projections for this year, and no, I'm going back and forward about whether I want to elevate his target share the way that our target share regression really wants us to. Especially since T.Y. Hilton is old, the tight ends are middling, especially now Andrew Luck is gone. It's an interesting kind of projection this year with Carson Wentz. Honestly, I'm starting to see less upside in that offense than I really want to, which is a good thing. I shouldn't project things I want to see necessarily. But Pittman's interesting. He's actually going in an ADP range around Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks, and I lean both of those players just because I wasn't high on Pittman as a rookie. I don't think he elevates an offense or creates offense by himself. I don't think he's that kind of player, whereas the other two have been. Will Fuller's got injury concerns. As we've talked about before, I don't think they're likely to repeat, and I think he's got one of the highest upsides in this league, but hopefully I'll get someone on this podcast who wants to talk about Miami a lot. I actually have Tua as a top 10 QB in current so far. My attempts at projections are not finished yet. And that's without elevating Will Fuller particularly high. It's doing nothing through his target share volume regression. And actually projecting him to have basically an average yards per team attempt. And I think there's upside if Tua could be what we thought he could be when he was initially drafted. And Will Fuller can play a full healthy season. Again, I don't have to adjust much or really at all to get him inside the top 15 at wide receiver and really elevate Tua into a top 5 QB for 2020. Not quite sure where I'm going to land on that offense right now, but those are my thoughts initially. And with Michael Pittman falling into a range with Brandon Cooks with a proven history of being a very good top 24 wide receiver, and he projects to be that again already, for 2021, and Will Fuller, who I think has this potential upside if he could play a full season, and Tua isn't apparently bad now for having played in the NFL barely at all. I lean those two players, but Pittman's interesting for that way, and he has gone up in value. Now that I've mentioned a few, Darnell Mooney has gone up 14 full rounds, and even Donovan Peoples-Jones, believe it or not, has gone up a round. It's worth noting that 50% of wide receivers who elevate an ADP between year one and year two fail, as in they never break out and they're not the wide receivers we're actually seeking. And remember, we're really thinking about the top 24 upside here, not the ultimate ceiling like CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson have. Maybe Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins according to ADP. I'm really leaning heavily into CeeDee Lamb having a big year this year, having done my initial runner projections, like I've been constantly mentioning, as if it's some sort of feat. Anyway, I really like CeeDee Lamb this year to break into the top 12. That's a take. There it is. Justin Jefferson, I actually think, could show some regression from last year. Not regression, that's a very specific word. I don't think he's going to elevate from what we saw last year, and that's so far from shade, it's not funny, but I have him lower than CeeDee Lamb right now, for example. But there you go. There's a thought. One name that might be sticking out to you right now is that Jerry Jeudy has actually dropped one round in ADP. This is May ADP compared to August last year, so we haven't seen the full story. I would really expect that to come up because he had a decent rookie season. He's the most Tyler Boyd-like ADP journey I've seen, in that Tyler Boyd had a great rookie year. Jerry Jeudy had an okay, pretty good, decent rookie year, and yet neither have really been respected by the market. Now, there's about 4 or 5 players who, based on my article of, what a good rookie season looks like, that have been disavowed, if you like, from the market. And really only Tyler Boyd stands out significantly on that list, but there's only about 5 players, and if Jerry Jeudy is going at the same price or a slight discount, I think that's really interesting. I can't see a reason why Jerry Jeudy's underrated outside of everyone maybe had Justin Jefferson expectations, which I never did, and so maybe that's benefiting me. But I think Jerry Jeudy had a good rookie season. I do think Cortland Sutton projects to be the target leader on that team, but I think Jerry Jeudy's been pretty good in the NFL so far, and I don't understand why we'd be less excited about him now unless you honestly thought he was better than CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, in which case, I know, get good, kid. I know what to tell you, that would have been a silly take. LaViska Shenault, I was out. He has raised in ADP by 3 rounds, like I say, but I'm still out. I don't trust that team, and I don't trust the skill set of Visca Chenault. I think he's going to be in that 50% that bust after elevating at ADP, but that's me. Jalen Reagor, I'm buying anyway. He's dropped 3 rounds in ADP. He's in that 94% of rookies at wide receiver that drop in ADP by 1 round, never do anything significant in fantasy after that, and I don't care, because it's Jalen Reagor, and I really think he's good, and Philadelphia just sucks, which is also a problem for him this year. I think Philadelphia's problem is they don't want to be led by tight ends, and they really should have been led by tight ends these last 2 years. But anyway, they've been trying to force wide receiver, which kind of is positive for Jalen Reagor. What's not positive is that they went and got another wide receiver to try and do it with in the shape of Devontae Smith. So we'll see. You should probably be out in Jalen Reagor. I'm not gonna. Who else stands out here? Donald Mooney had no ADP, apparently. That's not looking up properly. He's currently been drafted 116th overall, which is in the 10th round. That's what it was. He didn't have an ADP in August last year because everyone else sucks. But me, obviously. One of the other disappointments on this list is Bryan Edwards. He's dropped by 3 rounds. Again, he's cheap enough. He's going in the 13th round. That's not really even a take I have to have. I don't mind taking a shot on Bryan Edwards in the 13th round. If I'm in a position to draft wide receiver, obviously. Lynn Bowden's dropped 9 rounds, but I don't think we even know what position he plays fully yet, and we'll have to see. And that's kind of the end of the interesting wide receivers. I'm sorry to be too damn monotone, like I'm full nerding right now, but there it is. Running back. J.K. Dobbins has been drafted in the exact same round he was last year, which is round 2. Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, and Cam Akers have all elevated by at least 2 rounds. Jonathan Taylor and Swift is now a first round pick. I don't get why Swift has elevated as much as Jonathan Taylor into the first round, or really Cam Akers. You really have to project that both get a significant jump in opportunity in year 2, which they should, but I don't get why we're so excited about a player that needs, you know, time. Running backs tend to break out early and often, and the earlier you do it, the more likely you are to be the guy. I don't entirely get it. But I was kind of low on Swift as a rookie, and I was kind of disappointed with Cam Akers. So maybe that's just it, since we do want running backs on the come up and wide receivers once they're already established. I get it, I guess. But I don't know, I'm having a hard time getting too excited about young running backs, which is a weird position to be in, since that's exactly the group we normally target. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has actually fallen by 2 rounds, which is just... seriously, get good, kids. That's just silly. He's going in the 3rd round, which is actually why it was such a hard overreaction to the Kansas City Chiefs last year that he's actually dropped in ADP. I think that's a false drop. I think 3rd round Clyde Edwards-Helaire is very fair. I still think he has top 12 upside, just because of the Chiefs, even though he's a below average running back prospect. And, you know, we're kind of just getting him at value at this point. Antonio Gibson has elevated into the 2nd round. 8-round jump for Antonio Gibson since August last year. I'm just out on that. If I drafted him, I'm trading him. I think he's a top 24 running back at best, and I think we've seen that, and I think he's already jumped 8 rounds into the 2nd round of startup drafts. I'm out. I would definitely sell at that price, but you know, James Robinson is the next one on the list, and just don't talk to me, okay? It's painful. I would say Travis Etienne's been underprojected. I think from the ranks and projections I've seen so far, while I try and fact check myself, sanity check myself against others, Travis Etienne's a little underprojected right now, and I think it's because of this hangover of James Robinson. But look, if I can get over it, they should be able to get over it. I think Travis Etienne has a really decent projection in year 1. He's going to take that job. It sucks, but he's going to. Not sucks because we don't like Etienne, but because we deeply love James Robinson, obviously. I would say AJ Dillon's raised by 1 round. I'm still no. I'm actually more interested in Kalen Hill if I was going to get a value in that backfield. Even Aaron Jones is operating at a value going into 2021. And Yeah, I just take those guys. I keep dreaming, kids. I would say that Zach Moss also showed up in the running back article I wrote in that he's dropped by a round, but really he did what we should have probably expected in his rookie season, given that Singletary was on the team. Neither should be as far away in ADP as they actually are from each other. And it's probably most likely definitely going to be a split backfield with a quarterback that takes a large share of the rushing attempts anyway, so the ceiling is muted there, but I don't think we saw anything from Zach Moss to make me think that he's not a player that can live up to NFL standards, and when the opportunity is around, he can do stuff with it. So in the 10th round, I think Zach Moss is possibly one of those players I'd be targeting over the top 24 running backs, just because there's a little more upside there based on he's been good. It's been a split backfield, opportunity can open up, and he's young. I don't get why we would like him less. Keyshawn Vaughn's dropped by 11 rounds. Again, that's probably an overreaction compared to us overdrafting him in his rookie season, but he's going in the 18th round right now. I mean, sure, take a shot, and everyone else has lost extreme value. I do think, speaking of running backs, while we're doing projections, Malcolm Brown has actually landed in an interesting spot right behind Mike Davis, if I remember right, in Atlanta. I'm actually going to have to fact my chest myself on that. I've been massaging my depth charts because there's been a lot of player movement, obviously, and Julio Jones might go somewhere now, apparently. Which has got everyone all a titter. I'll believe it when I see it. Player outside of that. No, it's not Atlanta. Where is Brown? Nope. There's a lot of Browns in the NFL. Ever notice? Yeah, Malcolm Brown. He's gone to Miami behind Gaskin. Sorry, that's where I was getting confused. Malcolm Brown's pretty much had 20% of you know, the Los Angeles Rams rushing attempts over the last 3 years. In 2020, it was 21%. In 2019, it was 20%. In 2018, it was 14%. That's actually a really healthy running back two share. And I know the Los Angeles Rams backfield has been, you know, a sea of nightmares. But he easily projects, given the histories of everyone on the depth chart, to take back that up that role behind Myles Gaskin, who has a little less certainty in his opportunity overall. I still like Myles Gaskin as a top 24 running back, but I'm typically not targeting them in drafts, best ball or otherwise. Go early or go late is kind of my running back policy. And so these running back 8s to 24, especially where we're drafting them so high compared to historical trends over the last few years, I just tend to fade. Although I do like Myles Gaskin. He's on many of my rosters, along with Mike Davis. Having been told they had no value after last season, I'm pretty happy I held on to them. It's the anti-James Robinson effect, if you like. But Malcolm Brown being behind Myles Gaskin should easily co-opt that 20%. That means he will possibly be startable weeks, and there's opportunity there in an uncertain backfield. And so he's someone, and the Miami backfield in general, is a situation I think we should dig into a little bit more, especially if we're thinking zero RB or going zero RB in a draft, or we're just looking for potential upside between for a bench stash. I think Malcolm Brown finally at least might have some access to rushing in that offense, especially, and we're back to thinking about whether Miami has a higher or lower upside. Right now I have Gaskin just as a top 40 running back, so I have some useful weeks as a streamer, especially in a 17 game season. But yeah, he's someone that stood out to me, but I've gone off topic from ADP, so I'm going to skip right back to it. Tight end wise, this is the year we go by tight ends from last year, right? That's just what you do. Cole Kmet, Adam Trautman, and Albert O. Not even trying it, Zach. Don't at me. Cole Kmet's the only one who's raised in ADP. He's gone up 6 rounds. Neither of these three project to have a huge role this year, but they could easily increase it and still be on pace to being a fairly relevant NFL tight end. Kmet being the one that's jumped up so high, I don't know. I think there must be a Twitter war out there I'm unaware of. And Trautman and Albert O both had surprisingly high usage shares for rookie tight ends, let alone rookie tight ends and behind other NFL first round picks that had decent years, like Albert O did in Denver. And Trautman was fine. We liked him well enough. He's actually being drafted in the exact same round, in round 15. And I think, yeah, this is the year we'll go get him. Not because he's changed in value much, but because the ease with which we can acquire tight ends does change, even though the value remains relatively stable into year two. So I kind of like that. I guess we'll do tight ends, quarterbacks rather. Man, I'm getting my words mixed up a lot. It's almost like I do that every time. Joe Burrow actually projects in the top 12 for me as well right now. Not that distant from Justin Herbert, who I also think has some touchdown regression coming. Even though, once again, I have not finished projections. Jalen Hurts has raised 15 rounds, which is very fair since he's now a starting QB for a terrible team. It's a terrible team until I see otherwise. But I think that's fair, especially with his rushing upside. Even though we've only seen him in a limited sample, he's easily beating his ADP in projections right now for Superflex at least. I haven't gone out on quite a lot of him or anything. I just I can respect why he's jumped 15 rounds into round 8. These are high QB prices, actually, for single QB ADP, but still. Joe Burrow is going in round 7. Tua is being drafted in the exact same round in round 11, which is just another reason why I like him from the rookie class from last year. Especially considering I do think there's upside in that offense based on where the market is and what their values are in drafts and in trades and so on and so forth. Jordan Love fell 2 rounds, but, you know, no one noticed. Because probably no one should have. Currently, the highest drafted rookie from the rookie class last year is Jonathan Taylor. He's jumped up 1 round. He's now above Justin Jefferson. Yeah, it's fair. I think he's a dynasty running back 1 for a lot of people right now. But it depends what you're ranking for, right? I think Saquon Barkley and CMC and even Dalvin Cook project to be higher 2021 prospects, especially since we really have to hope once again that he can get involved in the receiving game in 2021 in a way that he was not in 2020, based on his college profile, I guess. So yeah, he's running back 3 or 4 for me, but that's more because I'm very 2021 focused, even in my dynasty rankings. I can understand why you would have the dynasty running back 1 value, but value is meaningless to me if I'm interested in starting that player right now. So yeah, there's that. Justin Jefferson is number 2, DeAndre Swift is number 3, which still kind of boggles my mind. Jumping into the first round of startup drafts, I get it, but I don't get it. Like, we didn't see what we wanted, you know? But anyway, I definitely don't get why Swift is higher than Akers, although Swift did get much more of that role and was very decent down the stretch. Athletes came Akers, but still. Yeah, and J.K. Dobbins cooked both by the Baltimore offense, like everyone is apparently, and Lamar Jackson projecting to, you know, get all the rushing attempts. All right, so that's some very monotone, I apologize, I'm not feeling the energy, but monotone thoughts on sophomore ADP for last year's class. And this is a really interesting time to be interested in buying sophomores, because, again, people are about as excited as sophomores as I sound about right now, which is terrible in both instances. So I thought that might be of interest. I don't know, I made this whole sheet and it was fun to look at. Anyway, I'm going to be talking to a few people just to drop some names, some name drops, but also maybe get you excited so it's not always just me talking this. Monitor, geez, Pete, get some energy. Get some energy, Pete. Dang it. Zach Reed asked, he finished classes, apparently. He was doing new classes, apparently. And he wants to come on, so I'm scheduled to talk to him. Also, Katie Fowler, based on FF Spaceman, dropped me a DM and said he'd really be interested to hear us talk prospects. And I haven't talked to Katie in a minute, and so I'll be really interested in that. I have asked Nick Whalen in a few weeks to interview, because I really think we would disagree on almost everything, and I felt like that would be a great person to challenge what I think of the 2021 season coming up, someone who often has a drastically different process, and often different thoughts based on, you know, just us talking on Twitter a lot. I think he's a pretty cool dude as well, so that'll be fun. As well as, I've dropped into a lot of DMs lately. Not a lot of people wrote me back, and a few I just did just to do. Like, I asked Warren Sharp, and he's never going to write me back. I think we know that. But I think I could have, like, a million questions to ask someone like that. But anyway, so over the next few weeks, we'll have other people on the Dynasty Crossroads. And I want to fact check myself. I want to sanity check myself in an argument or in a conversation, shall we say, with people that maybe think a little differently than me and I don't talk to all the time. And then the Zach, who I just don't miss an opportunity to talk to. So yeah, he'll be on too. So yeah, check it out. Check out that stream model, I guess. It's pretty interesting. There's a link there so you can, especially after we get through the stream tomorrow, get through. I'm making everything sound like a chore. Like, this sucks. I apologize. And I gotta stop apologizing. That makes it worse. Anyway, I created a tab to essentially make working projections a little easier, a little more intuitive, where you can just decide things and it pops out a projection and it's pretty much done. And there's a link in every video on that stream. So if you just want to play around with projections or see what I'm playing around with, that could be useful, I guess. I was on a podcast with Jax Falcone. I forget the name of his podcast, but I was on it, and he was talking about this online app that he's got that made it really easy, and I was like, well, I could structure it that way, and so I did, and so hopefully that'll help everyone out tomorrow as well. Anyway, I guess I'll leave on the same kind of note that I have maintained and persisted through on this entire podcast, because I suck. I gotta go. Get someone to upset me so I can get animated again. But anyway, I really appreciate it. If you still listen to the Dynasty Crossroads this long after Jake has gone, I really do appreciate it. And thank you. I'll talk to you again next week with someone else who's for sure going to be exciting and interesting, even if I maintain this. Anyway, thanks again. Talk to you again next week. Bye. No. I didn't just make that noise.
Oh. Yeah. Chicken or crow, chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfold, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the play, so. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Picking my nose, don't really know if I like that. Picking their brains, got different lanes, but I like that. Picking these guys, all of these times, all of these nice stats. Picking apart, the film is an art, always a fight. Back and forth, there is no order, they disorder more and more. Because the players ain't no older, they some hoarders or some mortars. Dropping bombs without no borders, Jake got that I like Mordor. Peak grinding numbers like molars, I don't know anymore. I am at a crossroads. Chicken or crow, crossing the road. Go, clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfold, so Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, though. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfold, so Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, though. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical.